Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Yes, hello, welcome along. Great news about the TV deal all being signed, wasn't it? Yeah, good luck. Anyway, it might have been. It might have been by the time you listen to this, because we aren't continuing with our pre-season preview. So, according to our experts, Barca top at 32nd, Real Madrid third, Valencia fourth from Sevilla. Sixth place. So it's a bit of a drop-off. So Valencia and Sevilla were close, but very much fourth and fifth. Where would you have gone sixth? What would you have done?
Betis.
Yeah, Betis is the win. It's close, Betis, but yeah, they are reasonably clear sixth with the range. This is interesting. You wouldn't get this in Premier League. Fourth to 13th. So some people have faith in Betis, and some people think that they're going to struggle again. So, but funnily enough, it's another club that's all change again.
Yep, and new manager.
Yeah,
we grew accustomed to the style of Kike Setién. Ruby is a manager that's progressing and having real success since the days when he was manager at Levante, and I was critical of him. He's moved on, done well, got team's promotion, and did a remarkable job last season. Yeah. I have no idea, when I look back on the season, how Espanyol got into the Europa League spot, because at one stage, the first quarter of the season, they were challenging for the league title.
Yeah.
Then they went on about, I'm guessing, probably about a 10-week run without winning a game. Lost majority of them, and then their form towards the end of the season picked up slightly, but it wasn't remarkable.
No.
It wasn't outstanding. Yeah. And it come down to the last game of the season. Results had to go in their favour, and they did. They got the job done.
There's not a lot between
mass celebrations.
7 and about 15th, is there?
No.
Yeah.
So, remarkable what he did. Now, we're going to see a different Betis, that's for sure. There's no Junior Firpo, who we mentioned in the previous podcast back against Barcelona. Nabil Fekir is of course, an exciting signing. One of those that I could put in that bracket I'm looking forward to watching this season. Pedraza has gone there from Villarreal. Wanmi from Real Sociedad. It's going to be an interesting one. Still think they need an out-and-out striker. To get the goals, whether it's going to be Sergio Leon has moved on, whether it's going to be Loren Moron to get the goals that's going to be needed, don't know. So, but I think there's possibility. I think they're looking seriously at bringing in Borja Iglesias, I think, for big money.
Because they've got some money, haven't they?
They must have,
Lo Celso.
Lo Celso it is. I had an ongoing debate, and I saw Twitter last week. He's pronounced it.
Yeah.
Lo Celso.
Yeah.
We had, wherever I was last year, it was Lo Celso.
Depends whether you give it the, presumably is of Italian heritage.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there we are.
So, they've got money.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure.
They don't get all that up
Spurs
front,
have paid anything for him yet, although it's a great Daniel Levy deal where it's.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
Designed to try and cut PSG out of the.
Yeah,
equation,
because some of it depends on they're only obliged to buy if Spurs qualify for the Champions League again. If not, it could just be a loan deal. He could just be there one season. So, yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it?
But something part of it was to do with money that was owed to PSG and a sell-on, and if it's delayed, and it's complicated.
Yes.
But he's not going to be playing for Betis this season. So, big shoes to fill there. So it's going to be interesting to see the differences with Ruby, with Kike Setien. Ruby hasn't, as well as he's done in recent seasons, I don't see style. It's not a definitive style from Ruby.
No.
So I'm hoping we see similarities with their playing style in the past, but with an end product, they've got to show that some teeth in attack,
so
as
we'll
opposed
see
to what we saw last year.
It might be a relief with the Mad Professor having gone. You might suddenly think, actually, can we just play some normal football now instead of this very complicated system that Kike Setien, in the end, was too complicated, wasn't it? And became too
unsuccessful. Yeah. Which massive failure last year from Betis.
Yeah.
Not to progress in the way that we hoped they would. Was it harsh? Possibly. But I can see where they're coming from. They're a team that, with the support, stadium, the finance in place now, that should be in Europe, and they missed out last season too. And a team in Espanyol, team in Getafe, on a much smaller budgets, with a smaller playing squad. So you can understand why the change was made at Betis.
Right, let's have a look at 7 and 8 together. So this would be the edge of the European race. Two Basque clubs in 7 and 8. Which way round, Terry, do you think they would go?
Well, we saw Gaisca Garitano had much improved form last season. They were similar position to Valencia.
Athletic
Bilbao. So they were in a similar position to Valencia. Athletic made a change and it worked. Mm. And they got to a reasonably good position in the league. The issue again is, will be a familiar issue with Athletic Bilbao, they haven't strengthened in the summer.
No.
Because we know how difficult it is. I went and watched them playing against West Ham. The only new players were young players that are coming out of the B team. We know how good they've been in the past. They have the numbers, the squad is big enough. Massive news that Iñaki Williams signed a 25-year contract. 9 years on that. I was slightly exaggerating. A nine-year contract. Adaris is going to retire at the end of the season. So it's going to be his last year. But he'll be hoping to contribute more than he was able to last season. But it's going to be so... It's difficult to assess where they're going to do any better. Fortunately, I was able to see Real Sociedad as well in pre-season against Millwall. And I tell you what, they looked really exciting. I really did like the look of the attacking aspect of Real Sociedad. So they started with Alexander Isak, who's a 19-year-old Swedish player they bought from Borussia Dortmund. I think he will probably start the season ahead of William Jose,
all right,
which tells you the quality he's got. Similar type of player, a bit more dynamic, if I'm being honest. The enthusiasm of a 19-year-old was clear. Then they had Yanazai, Odegaard, and then you've got Mikel Oyarzabal, who could play in that position.
Yeah,
they've also signed Paul Tu.
It's good options, isn't it?
It looks a good, really good, vibrant, young, attacking element to Real Sociedad this season that I'm looking forward to seeing. And the stadium's going to be finished. It could be a really good season for Real Sociedad. They aren't outsiders, but they've shown in the past they can do it. I put them in that bracket. You know, I'm not sure. I've got them down in mine, 7th.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a massive surprise if they were 4th.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, the range then from our pundits, our contributors, are between 4th and 11th for Real Sociedad.
Yep, another one.
Yeah, there are lots of them. Athletic, everyone between 5th and 12th. And it's the closest one between the two, 7.86 to 7.91. So virtually unsplittable, but Real Sociedad comes 7th and Athletic 8th. Right, 9th
place. Odegaard looked good, actually.
Yeah.
He looked really accomplished. I even believe he signed an extended contract at Real Madrid to make sure that he can't go and do well at Real Sociedad. His contract's running down and someone comes along and buys him. But he looked good in that game. He was the one that was playing central of the three that were supporting Isak up front. And he looked influential in that team.
Who've got 9th in your list?
Celta Vigo.
Celta Vigo, right. They're 11th in our contributors list. Shall we talk about them? They're everywhere between 8th and 16th, we've had predicted for them. Someone put a little note, a little asterisk. Depends on Aspas. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. And it depends on Aspas. I'm pleased to see Centimina and Denis Suarez at Celta. I think that's two players that are returning back to the club where they've been before. And that gives Maxi Gomez leaving is a big blow.
Mm.
So much depends on Aspas. One or two other players we don't know too much about that we're going to be looking forward to seeing. I think defensively they had problems last season. When you get two players in Aspas and Maxi Gomez, they've got, I'm guessing, 45, 46 goals, so around that figure. You shouldn't be in a relegation battle.
Yeah.
But the sheer fact was they weren't very good at defending. So that needs to be rectified. But again, they fall into that team. And I agree, where they're going to finish, mid-table, if they excel and they kick on, they do well, Centimina and Denis Suarez have good seasons, then again, we're looking to the team maybe that got to the semi-final of the Europa League against Manchester United at Old Trafford. We're unlucky not to go through. Their season last year was below par.
Yeah, well, they made a mess of it, didn't they?
Yeah. So if they can sort out having a manager for the entire season will help.
Yeah.
And, you know, keeping players fit. And they've got to improve defensively.
Yeah, which explains the big range of where people think they'll finish. Yeah. But there are lots of those, to be honest, lots of clubs that people find it hard.
Another one, isn't it?
Well, shall we do them? Because they come ninth in our list, anywhere between 4th and 16th, Villarreal. I think that's probably the biggest range. I can't see them finishing 4th. They should be better. They had a bizarre season last season, didn't they?
Yep.
By, you know, Calleja being there for the start. And then 7 weeks of Luis Garcia.
A complete cock-up last year. It was, they got away with it.
Yeah.
Why on earth Villarreal are in that position last year? I had no idea. The quality they had from right throughout the team. I still struggle to explain why they were getting beat and losing games and weren't safe two games to go.
Mm.
Confirmed safety. I think it says Ion Cazorla was their best player last season, and we didn't expect to ever see him play again, let alone be the talisman for Villarreal in their relegation battle. So I'm mystified. I'm confused this summer. I don't know what we're going to see.
No.
VRL.
Yeah.
Whether that... it's a long time. You can have a bad spell during the season, which messes up your season, but that was most of the season was a mess-up for VRL with the players they had.
Yeah.
I mean, they were fighting against Valladolid and Huesca and teams like that. And there's no comparison between the squads of the Valladolid one that stayed up and the VRL one that stayed up. They're just miles apart.
So I've never rated Calleja as a manager,
I think.
He looked good by comparison, because when he went away, they did even worse for the 7 weeks. But
yeah. I'm looking at Raul Albiol was coming.
Yeah.
Possibly a good signing. He replaces Daniel Bonera in terms of the veteran centre-back.
Yeah.
Alberto Moreno from Liverpool. Moy Gomez is an interesting one, because I always thought they shouldn't have let him go.
Hmm.
I wouldn't say his career has really kicked on. He spent a lot of time in the second division with Sporting Gijón. Good loan spell last season from Sporting at Huesca, where he proved he was capable of playing in that level. But I remember him young at Villarreal thinking, this is a real talent, you know, he blended in with the VRL when they had a really good team, and he contributed to that. So it'd be interesting to see how he performs and his return back to the Stadium Ceramica and then to El Madrigal. Zambo Anguissa from Fulham.
Yeah.
I don't know an awful lot. So it's, they haven't gone out and splashed the cash. One or two players have returned back on loan, but nothing significant. So I'm confused where they're going to be. They are in that category that could, a good season from Villarreal with the strikers they've got and the quality all around the team, they could finish top four.
Yeah, well, yep. Yeah, someone predicted that.
I don't know where.
I don't think so. Without managerial change, myself. Right, 10th place. Let's do one more team before we break again. So 10th were last season's revelation in many ways. Getafe, the range of finishes from 6 to 16, according to our contributors, averages out at 10th. Obviously, well, I suppose the good business they've done is hang on to hang on to players such as Genet. Obviously, the reservations come with how this small club is going to survive playing European football and having a decent league campaign.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him in Europe, actually. Yeah. If we can ever watch it on television. Just because of their style will lead. Yeah. But if anyone's playing against the Tafe in the Europa League and they think they're playing against a traditional La Liga outfit, then they'll be in for rude awakening. So I look at the players they've signed. They've got Hetafe stamps right way through them. Alan Neon has turned up. I think he replaces Dimitri Fulquier, who's moved on. Maximovic was there, and they've kept him from... He was on loan from Valencia. They've kept him. Raul Garcia, good solid central defender from Girona. He's gone in. Enric Gallego. Do you remember Huesca bought him towards the end of last season? He was 30... In his 30s. Yeah. Falls into the Jorge Molina category of lower league striker that's flourishing late in his career. I liked him. They've signed him for a couple of million euros. Cucurella has gone there. There was from Barcelona. He was on loan at Eibar last season. Faja? Faja? How did we pronounce it?
Faja, I think.
Faja.
But who knows? If anyone who speaks Arabic, feel free to come and correct it. I think it's Faja.
He was at Depor, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Talented. And had to spell out Hetafe. So good to see him back. I think he was a player I liked watching. And Borja Iceta from Huesca, solid La Liga central defender. So there's nothing out of the ordinary there. Cucurella possibly is the one that stands out in terms of would he play instead of Antunes? Probably not. Mm. But he could play anywhere on the left side of midfield, left back, and bring something to Hetafe. So, yeah, the interesting point is going to be a small club playing in Europe, same as Espanyol. How they're going to cope, be interesting to see.
Right. Someone's got to care about the bottom end of La Liga, and it is right here on El Tel and John's La Liga Weekly. So we'll have a look at who's going down next.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Right, welcome back. So we've done 1-11. So Barca, Atleti, this is how it's going to finish. Real Madrid, Valencia, Sevilla, Betis, Real Sociedad, Athletic, they're 8th. And then Villarreal, 9th, Hetafe, 10th, Celta Vigo, 11th. 12th place then, Terry. Back where they belong, slap bag in the middle of the table. Espanyol, anywhere from 7th to 17th. Now I'm guessing, well, it's another team, they've all had some kind of change, haven't they, all these clubs? So it's another team that's had some changes. In a sense, we've already discussed them, because you said it was unusual, you know, it's a surprise that they got seventh.
Yeah.
Are they just? Is that just reverting to the mean? That reverting to norm that they'll be mid-table?
Yeah, and I think people take into account the extra games as well. I mean, Sevilla struggled last season, starting in the Europa League qualifying campaign. Espanyol played four games already. They've got another couple before they get to the group stages. Then there's going to be another six games in the group matches if they qualify. So I think everyone's waiting to see if they do get in that scenario, how they're going to cope. The squad wasn't particularly big. They do have a benefit in that they do produce good young players who get opportunities at Espanyol. So hopefully some of them emerge this season to help a new coach in David Gallego. Have they made too many big signings? No, they've taken Bernardo Espinosa on loan from Girona. Itaraspi.
Tiny signing
on a free transfer. And Calero excelled at Valladolid as one of the standout players there last season, the centre-back. So it's going to be tough to see how they can replicate finishing in the European spot, but new manager as well doesn't help. Or it might help. It remains to be seen.
13th, then, in our list is Eibar. Anywhere between 8th and 19th, someone does have them going down. They're the last team that doesn't have anyone predicting them to finish bottom. So by comparison to other clubs, actually a little bit of stability at Eibar, which has been part of their success, this tiny club that has punched above its weight for quite a long time now.
Yeah, I'm looking at their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 players, maybe. And the only one I know is Takashi Inoue.
Yeah, who's back.
Who's back. Yeah. And I think that's what we've seen from Eibar. They've got a type. They buy experienced veteran players from La Liga or players from the lower divisions. Their recruitment policy has stood them in really good stead. So to see Eibar drop into relegation fight from where they've been in recent seasons, to me, would be a big surprise.
Yeah.
So I do expect them to be Mendilibar. Classic Eibar. Some of these players we don't know too much about turn out to be really good, really promising. They use the loan system well. There's a bit of time in the transfer window as well for them to move in. They're bringing a Cucurea like they did last season. The bulk of their team have been kept together. Not too many. John Jourdain is probably the exception in terms of the first teamers that's left the club. So much of the same from Eibar, I think.
Right, finishing 14th with an average of 14th, as the guess is, anywhere between 11 and 20, Levante. So Levante, worst-case scenario could get... And it's a fair assessment. Worst-case scenario could get into a relegation battle. All being well, should finish mid-table.
Yep. I think Levante would be more than happy in mid-table. Paco Lopez, I think they're good to watch. They score lots of goals, concede too many goals. But I think that style got them where they were last year. You know, they flirted with relegation issues, but they were never in danger of really getting dragged into it. So I like what they see. I see from Levante. Sergio Leon has gone there from Betis. We haven't seen too much of him recent seasons, if I'm being honest, since he's moved to Betis, but showed in the past at Osasuna in a poor team that he could score goals. He could be an asset to them. They've picked up Miramon and Gonzalo Malero from Huesca. I liked him on Gonzalo Molera in terms of... But he's an attacking midfield player. I want to see maybe Ruben Vezo from Valencia might make things a bit more solid in defence.
He's not the most solid defender in the world, is he?
So I'm looking at it and I'm wondering where they're going to get stronger. Oscar Duarte from Espanyol might make them a bit tougher at the back, harder to score against. So I think Levante have no... they're under no illusions. They know mid-table... comfortable mid-table, well away from relegation, and at the same time entertaining. That would be a successful season for them.
Alaves, 15th. Exactly the same range. Loads of teams are the same. Somewhere in the bottom half, everyone says, worst-case scenario, bottom. Again, a bit of work. A couple of players brought in who...
Oh, no, lots of players in and out.
Yeah.
But they do that, don't they?
We
get this with teams that are establishing themselves bit by bit, don't we, in the league, where they don't want to take too much of gambling their first season back. And then Eibar, the perfect example, then season 2, 3, 4, 5, you start looking and think, oh, they're owning more players now, they're bringing players through the youth system. But for the first 2, 3, 4 seasons, they're working on loans and free transfers. And I think that's what we got again from Alaves.
Yeah. So
it's a team for each season.
The likes of Lucas Perez. So how well those signings come off is crucial. It's not a dissimilar situation for the teams around them, is it? Because we've got Leganés 16th in this list. Similar story, isn't it? Building their way into it.
I'm looking at Perry Puns.
Yeah.
Good signing. Yeah. Lucas Perez, I think, is a good signing. Hosolu from Newcastle. So the names of the players are a little bit more recognisable from last year and the year before, where we're getting established La Liga players, albeit that they've been away to different countries and played and coming back. So I think that I think Alaves will be okay again this season. I don't look at the departures as nothing major there. That you know, maybe players that have done a decent job for them. Caleri was good last year. I think there's talk of him returning again.
Yeah.
Still time in the transfer window, so I think Alaves will be okay, and the good team at home.
Good atmosphere.
Good atmosphere, and they've been a good addition to La Liga.
And they might be happy if that Monday thing. Yeah. Who knows happening with that Monday thing? No. By the way, But at the moment, if at the moment they're playing Fridays for the first 3 weeks, though, it's only a 3 week ruling, isn't it? And then, but no.
How
Mondays.
Has this happened, by the way? I know it's another podcast, but. It's the Spanish FA and La Liga, two different entities.
Yeah, so it's
so why
it's
the FA get involved in La Liga?
Because they promised to when Rubiales came in, he promised to get rid of Monday and Friday.
Is it anything to do with him, La Liga?
Well, in
the
a sense,
clubs are all against him.
In a sense, they're the ultimate sanctioning governing body. So in a sense, they are technically above La Liga.
I guess it's like we had the FA and the
We still do.
But the Premier League.
They work together, and it's pretty much the Premier League does what it wants.
Yeah.
And it's worked. It's the harsh reality. Yeah.
It didn't used to, though.
No,
People remember back with the FA and the Football League.
Whereas this, it looks very much like insert the name of any political party, where you look from the outside and you just see them. People say, who's right, the FA or the... And I think, looking from the outside, it just looks like cats fighting in a bag and no
Monday
one cares.
Monday Night Football, it works in the UK, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they have to have good games on sometimes.
Yeah. Well,
it's not always the case in
the
Premier League.
That's the point of Alaves, isn't it? That they were feeling that they were just getting dumped on.
Yep.
And they're the point.
And I get... it's why not have... Real Madrid, Atletico, Valencia, the bigger clubs, Barcelona, playing on Monday night. There's no reason it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, the week after the European round would make sense.
Yeah. And also they could play on the Friday before the European games. But I think there's then what complicates it is the issue of free-to-air televised games in Spain.
Yes.
I think the Monday night ones are free-to-air televised. So if you imagine, the comparison would be Sky Sports paying all that money for the Premier League...
Yeah.
And Man United v Liverpool being on a Monday night on ITV, BBC, Channel 4.
Yeah. Is that the case this season?
I think, I don't know.
The new deals at that. I don't know. Yeah.
So they're reluctant to put the big games on to the big companies that are paying the bulk of the money in Spain for TV rights. So that's why we don't get to see too often Real Madrid, Barcelona.
Yeah. So it's money and politics. Who'd have thought?
Oh, God, we're sitting outside that pub. I know where we're going to go in the next 10 minutes.
Right, let's do Leganés. So are they... We've got them in 16th, about right?
Yeah.
So they could. Again, there are another... Any of these teams, any of these bottom half teams, that, as we've got them, they make a mess of a season, they could go. Their existence is precarious.
I'm noticing though in recent seasons, last season in particular, the relegated teams finding it harder to compete.
Yeah,
hence why I think other people are realising that as well now, because if you stick around for two or three years now, it's more financially more
profitable teams,
than it ever used to be.
Yeah,
so the likes of Alaves, Leganés, Levante. Yeah.
Well, we haven't got to any of the new teams yet.
They've got the money from previous years.
Yeah.
Instead of in the past selling 10 players or changing 10, letting 10 go, bringing 10 in at no cost, have gone. They're all spending money now because the finances are being distributed fairer. So that's a big advantage, and that's why it was such an achievement last year for Valladolid to survive.
So the only team that survives, newly promoted, is Osasuna. I saw Henry, who worked at Sky with us, who's the Osasuna fan. So he's going out, but typical of Spanish football, you can't buy a ticket before you go. They've just got to turn up at the ground for the away games because you can't buy them, which is nonsense. What? And the main thing that they need to address is just to fill those seats up.
Accommodating people that want to go to a game of football.
Yeah, there's an idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it makes out that somehow Spain is some country of hicks who don't have the internet. But I bought train tickets... and I printed them off at home. And I bought tickets for PortAventura and I printed them off at home. But you can't do the same
for a football game.
To go and watch Osasuna play. Ooh, I can't remember where they're playing, but yeah. So it's just it's just so many things about the football. It's that they're let down by the politics and the administration. Anyway, Osasuna going to survive. It's a toss. It's really close, but according to our poll. But yeah, so they've come in. They were the champions, weren't they? So. Sort of makes sense.
They're champions based on 21 home games, 19 wins, two draws.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm looking at the three teams that come up. They're not prolific in terms of scoring goals.
No.
So that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, but buy those rights, everybody. Come on.
Yep. That's going to be an issue. Defensively, they're all solid, which is why they got promoted. And Osasuna, as I said, because of their outstanding home form, they're going to need... to be half as good, aren't they, at home?
Yeah.
To win 19 games in a season at home, if they can get 9-10 wins, takes some doing. Mm. But they've got a winning mentality, belief that they're invincible in their own stadium. It's going to be interesting to see how they react to, you know, maybe not winning every game at home. Are they going to get enough points on the road? Who knows? But I my bottom three are the three that came out based on what we saw last season as well. And based on the theory that I've just put forward, that I think once you have one or two seasons in it, using the money, you're buying better players, it's hard for those Osasuna, Granada, Mallorca, particularly Mallorca, back-to-back promotions. I don't see any significant signings, no big names there that I recognise that might help them in their first season back in La Liga, but it has to be balanced with the fact that, you know, perhaps they feel they don't need it with...
They looked good, didn't they? I saw the playoff when they played at home, played nice football, turned it around.
Temporary stands around the running track now, isn't it? So it looks a better watch on television. Mm. I just feel it's going to be tough for the three that came up to survive again.
So our poll we had Valladolid going down in 18th. In fact, the 13 people said they'd finish 18th. That's a lot. And then Mallorca 19th and Granada 20th.
Chimiavila is on loan. Looking at their loan, they've signed him, the one that had his own goal of the season last year from Huesca. Mark Cardona from Barcelona showed a little bit when he was on loan at Eibar. Estupinan, is it? On loan from Watford.
Right, okay.
Don't know much about him. Brasenac from Betis. And do you remember Adrian Lopez? He's gone there.
Right.
So there's a bit of stuff around there in La Liga that... Oh, Roncaglia. That can't be Roncaglia, can it? Facundo Roncaglia. From Celta Vigo.
I don't know. Is it?
Where was he last season? Ended up Valencia.
Yeah.
Right. They've signed the Roncaglia anyway. So that'd be interesting to see. You know, you can see what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Osasuna. I think they've got the best chance out of three. Of course, you'd expect that as champions, but that doesn't always work out anyway. So,
yeah,
I think they've got the best chance.
So that makes Mallorca 19th, Granada 20th. People remembering Tony Adams' days there, putting them 20th.
Yeah. I'm looking to see Soldado's back.
Yes, yes.
Playing for Granada.
How old is Soldado? Got mid-30s, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And we haven't seen him play a lot.
No,
recently. So yeah, but and, you know, in his day, a terrific goal scorer.
If they can get a tune out of him for a season or two, that would really help their cause. Fede Vico, who's a player that I think it was Cordoba, played against Barcelona about 8 years ago, I'd say. It was the new big thing in Spanish football. Ended up in Anderlecht, playing for Anderlecht. He's back there, so that'd be playing again. Yango Herrera on loan from Manchester City looked good at Huesca last season. So it'd be interesting to see, particularly Soldado, who's turned up from Fenerbahce.
Yeah. Right, so that's everyone. So that's how we think it's going to finish. Exactly how it starts and how we watch it, we still don't know. we'll keep on podcasting. Exactly. We'll just have to figure out when, basically, aren't we? Because what we were able to do, the great advantage of sitting at home and watching it is that you're able to record all the matches and go through them all, and so you actually saw a lot of football, albeit all on TV, but it didn't mean that we watched an awful lot of Spanish football. So we'll see. We'll try and do the same, whether it means that we have to be a bit later with the podcasts or not in order to see them. We'll see. And
obviously, find a way.
Yeah. Well, yes.
I still believe it'd be on telly somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whether too big a league.
Yeah, they might.
Too big a players for it not to.
Yeah,
be hope. So, sort it out,
yeah,
for God's
as sake. I say, hopefully we're out of date by now. But I don't know. We might be going no deal for the first weekend and see. We'll see if everyone's playing a game of chicken. But who knows? Anyway, we will be back with more podcasts. Thank you to everybody who took part. Thank you to everybody who's listening. We'll see you for more La Liga Weekly soon.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.